I want to talk about lying. I want to talk about lying and what to do with lying. If you think someone's lying to you, or maybe if you're lying to somebody else, why is lying even a part of our lives? I think lying's a part of our lives because we don't want to take responsibility for something that we've done. That's the first thing. And two, we're trying to avoid conflict by not just letting somebody know what's true, what's real, what's gone on. I mean, I've had situations, and you guys can probably relate to this, where somebody lies about stopping and getting a Coca-Cola on the way home. Like they will tell their spouse, oh, I was running late from work or my boss gave me, but they just didn't want to share that they had stopped to get Coke. And some of us have grown up in homes where it wasn't safe to really share what was going on, where the truth, like there's, you know, alcoholic homes or abusive homes where, you know, we have avoided conflict by just learning how to lie. So let me talk about the different types of lies. So there's a lie of omission. What is that? A lie of omission means that you have something going on in your life and you're not exposing it. But it would be something that would cause a disruption in your relationship with your significant other if they were to find out about it. It might even break a vow, you know, that lie of omission. And you might say to yourself, well, I'm not really lying. I just didn't say anything about it. So that's another form of lying. What is that? That's called self-deception. Self-deception is when you lie to yourself. What's really interesting is that one of the names of Satan or enemy is the father of lies. And so I often see how the father of lies will just latch on to our relationships in order to bring more chaos, in order to keep things hidden in the dark, sins, things that would harm other people. I mean, I see his fingerprints all over the dirty work. And that doesn't make somebody not responsible. It's not like you can say the devil made me do it. But I'll tell you, the devil's in the details. And the devil is in the details of what happens with lying. So whether you're lying and it's self-deception, you're lying to yourself and others, right, ultimately, or whether it's a lie of omission, and then there could just be a flat-out lie. Somebody looks at you and says something, and then you say, no, I didn't do that. Or gaslighting, which is somebody looks at you, says something, and then they make it your problem. They twist the truth in order to make you feel wrong and bad about who you are and hide what's happening over there. So lying's hurt. Well, and then you might say, well, what do I do if somebody is gaslighting me or I feel like they're lying to me? I will look up the verse in a second, but I know one of the names of God is Jehovah Elameth. And Jehovah Elameth means the Lord God of all truth. And I think it's in the Psalms, but I'll look it up. And it says, though everyone else is a liar, God is saying about himself, though everyone else is a liar, I'm not. So I love that God loves the truth. One of the ways that you can hold on to your sanity and truth would be to keep it in a private note section of your phone, somewhere where your kids can't find it, you know, the one who's deceiving you can't find it. And just make sure your kids can't find it. And I'm sure, Alice, you'll agree with this, because so often kids use our phones for, I don't know, schoolwork or to look something up. And you don't want them to find this. But in your note section, begin to write down what you saw, what you observed, like the facts. Because it can get very confusing when somebody's holding on to their lie, and you can really almost lose track of what you remember to be true. It's very disorientating. Another thing you can do is when someone's gaslighting you, telling you something's about you, you can say a phrase like this. You can say, that's interesting. That's not how I remember it. Period. That's not how I remember it. You don't have to be adversarial. You don't have to yell and scream. You can just hold your strength within your core and say that. You could also say, well, looks like we're going to have to disagree, you know, agree to disagree on this one. That's another way And then the scripture can be really grounding. And Alice, I just wanted to see if you had any ideas while I'm looking this up. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you're describing non-combative responses that, rather than escalating the argument, have such a likelihood of diffusing the situation. A soft word turns away wrath. And so to just give a, huh, that's not how I remember it, it really stops an argument in its tracks. Mm. Sherry, you were talking about an easy fix. And it is, I think it's pretty shocking how much truth and confession are the easier, much more effective fix. Emotionally, it's very difficult for those of us who struggle with lying to make our confessions because we're so afraid of the response we'll get. But when we start to confess, if we have decent people around us, they will likely receive our confession and actually begin to believe us as we admit to these things we're so afraid to tell them. I learned from you, Sherry, how much disclosure versus discovery, if there's been an infidelity, for example, when the perpetrator discloses it rather than it being discovered by the victim's spouse, it ushers in a level of healing.
It sure does. It sure does. Because it's ownership, right? It's a way of taking responsibility. I want to read this verse. So it's Romans 3:3-4. It says, true. Some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful, does that mean that God will be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. And so it's just, I just want to say there's a beauty to truth. And even though people are scared, when I work with those that have infidelity, they're scared out of their mind to come clean, mm-hmm. because they think they're going to, I mean, their belief is I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose the one I love. I'm going to lose my reputation. And those are a lot of reasons that people say, I'm just going to take it to the grave. But that stuff just eats away at you. It begins to erode you from the inside. And that's why Jesus says, confess your sins to one another and pray so you can have healing. So a lot of good truth. Mm-hmm. And I know we have calls to take, but thank you for letting
one quick comment I want to make, yeah. or question I want to ask about gaslighting. What is it in our mind? What is it in our psyche that makes us, when somebody lies about us or, like you say, turns the tables to make it seem like we're the ones at fault? Why is it that all of a sudden our minds start thinking, oh, maybe that is how it happened? Why do we start doubting ourselves when it was our lived experience? Why is it that now what this other person tells us, all of a sudden you're just confused?
Well, because they may share one little sliver.
Okay.
Like, you know, you've not been feeling well. Like, this is really your issue. Or, you know, they might add a little tiny bit of truth, but like 99.9% of it is a lie. Mm-hmm. But what happens with gaslighting, it's usually not one time. Gaslighting is a pattern where someone strategically twists the truth to make you believe something's wrong with you or you're crazy in order to cover up what they're doing over here. So that eroding, it's kind of like the Grand Canyon. You know, when the Grand Canyon first started, it might have just been a little trickle, just a little tiny river that a leaf went down. But now it's huge. And that's what happens with gaslighting. It begins to erode the sense of who you are, and you are spun out. When someone comes in and they've been gaslit, there's almost a hollow sense to them when they come in because their reality has been so broken and their intuition is compromised. So my goal is to help them get back into truth, mm-hmm. of what is reality.
Yeah.